show that's streaming the country right now. There it is. We got it out there, and they were slow on the draw, but the American Sports History Podcast rolling in your homes across this great country, live from Cleveland, hosted by a brother, a mentor, and a friend, Peter Ray. Yours truly, Mark Mancini, producing in Los Angeles, 347-205-9631. If you happen to miss it, 30 minutes goes by quick, blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to the podcast, powered now by Mancini Media. So without further ado, more of him, less of me. Let me lay the red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic. Peter the Threes, how are you? How can people get a hold of you? And, man, you're bringing the legend back in here again. So when I guess your wife Alice is listening to you. All man the boards as it gets busy. Take it away, my friend.
Hi, Mark. I'm doing well. I have a YouTube channel. It's my name, Peter J. Rea. You're absolutely right. Tonight's guest played Major League Baseball from 1971 to 1981 with the Chicago Cubs, Oakland A's, L.A. Dodgers, and San Francisco Giants. He won two World Series championships in 1973 and 74 with the Oakland A's, 395 career stolen bases, two-time American League stolen base leader in 1974 and 76, more than 1,000 hits, first Oakland A's DH, won a pennant with the Dodgers in 78, three-time led the American League in total chances per game, twice in putouts, once in assists from the outfield on double plays. Welcome to the show for the 39th time, Mr. Bill North.
Hey, Peter, what's happening?
Oh, everything's fine. We have on the show tonight the starting center fielder and leadoff hitter for the coolest MLB team of all time, the Oakland A's from the early 1970s.
That's just your opinion, Peter.
No, that's the way it is. You guys have your 50th anniversary of the Oakland A's championship in 1974 coming up June 23rd. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, they generally seem to be fun, the ones we've had in the past, although the people are participating are getting fewer day by day.
Lost Ken Holtzman. Now all the big three, Catfish Hunter, Vida Blue, and Ken Holtzman are all gone.
Yeah,
so
they could get you in and get you out. I'm talking about quick games.
Right.
I finished 45, boy.
Right. Yeah. No messing around. All business.
No, they weren't standing out there wondering what to pitch. Give me the ball. I'll throw it, whatever it is.
I finished rereading the book Dynastic, Bombastic, Fantastic, Reggie, Rowley, Catfish, and Charlie Finley's Swinging A's by Jason Turbo. You were actually quoted quite a bit in the book. I got to the part where Reggie Jackson was on the cover of Sports Illustrated in 1974, and he was dubbed the first super-duper star. Do you remember that, and what did you think of it?
He was the first superstar? Superstar came after.
Super-duper star.
Super-duper.
Yeah.
That's really big. That's bigger than a superstar.
Right.
Yeah. Super duper. That's high cotton right there.
Yeah. Not long after that, you and Reggie were in conflict, and the author talked about how you were, as a student at Central Washington University, you were president of the Black Student Union, and you took the president's you occupied the president's office with a list of 10 demands. Wow, that was really something.
Those were my activist days, Peter.
Was that the height of your
It pretty much permeated the nation. Yeah, because there were some things happening that were just, the system had gotten to the point where it had no diversity in it, and that's essentially what we were asking for, is more diversity and to be able to be heard in our education, and it worked, although it's kind of backfiring now the way people think about diversity, equality, and inclusion, thinking that that's a communist plot or something racist.
Uh-huh.
When you're just trying to include people, it's a little bit tougher.
Now, this you and Reggie had a fist fight, and Raleigh Fingers said that it was like having a ringside seat for a Muhammad Ali, Joe Frazier fight. And then after that, Charlie Finley scolded Reggie, and Reggie called Finley on the telephone and called him a horse's ass. And then later, yeah, you and Reggie reconciled, and you told Reggie, we need you.
Yeah, something like that. But it's the kind of thing that, yeah, we did. And he had kind of gone into a shell. But he came back out, and we won the World Series, so it worked.
June 19th, Sal Bando said that Alvin Dark, the manager, couldn't manage a meat market. And then Dark was within, could heard it. He called Bando into his office. Sal apologized. And then according to the author.
Well, there were a couple of statements made there. I think it was Raleigh that said he couldn't manage a one-car funeral.
And
I'm not sure which one said which compliment.
But the author was saying that Dark called instead. He called Bando into his office, and they handled it privately. And then there was more respect for Alvin Dark after that.
Yeah, he got out of the way.
And then around that, and then after that, Finley released Darren Johnson, and he called up Claudel Washington. Well, that was a big deal. And Gaylord Perry was trying to tie an American League record with 16 straight wins. And Claudel Washington's first game, he had a game-winning RBI against Gaylord Perry and the Cleveland Indians.
And it was extra innings, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Maybe the 10th. I'm not sure how far.
Yeah, I remember it. I remember he jammed that ball in the left field. I don't know if I was on base or not, but I know I remember that hit. It was a big one.
When they added
When
they added Claudel Washington, that was a major addition to the team.
They were calling him up for 10 days. And he said, I ain't going back to the minor league. He told the boys in the minor leagues that I'll see you guys later. But not here.
Okay. And then Charlie Finley fired coaches Vern Hochscheid and Irv Noren, hired Bobby Winkles and Bobby Hoffman. Around that time, Charlie, you remember that coaching change?
Yeah, I do.
Any
comment? Both of them did about the same thing. Those guys worked hard. You know, but there was a change in managers, and when you do that, you know, the manager should get to have his own input on his coaches. And
right.
I think Alvin picked those guys. But those guys, Winkles was in the Angels organization.
Right.
And then Bobby Hoffman, I think he was in the A's organization.
Go ahead.
Yes. And they brought him up. I liked them all.
Uh-huh.
You know, Vern was a little crusty. But
okay.
And Irv was a good guy, you know. But Vern was a little crusty. He's kind of, you know. He had to go a little bit to make him smile.
Charlie Finley accepted $100,000 from the Angels to allow them to hire Dick Williams and break his contract, and he wanted to make sure that Williams was on a team that would finish, I believe, in last place. In July, Alvin Dark removed Vida Blue from a game, and Vida threw the ball away, didn't give it to Dark. the manager. It was embarrassing. And after the game, Alvin Dark called a team meeting and said, if being a world champion makes you act the way some of you are acting, no thank you. I don't care to be one.
Well, I'm not going to comment on that too much other than to say when the manager, whenever a team changes leadership like that, they generally, if they're a good team and they're a winning team, they generally carry over the ethics of the manager that left for at least a year. And I think that that could have been the same with us, because we already knew how to play. You know, sometimes managers lose more games than they win. And we were, I'm not going to say one way or the other whether that is the case, but we knew how to win. Yeah.
Then you guys got to the playoffs, what they call the ALCS now. I think they just call it the playoffs then, against the Orioles. The Orioles won game one. Game two, Ray Fosse threw out Paul Blair trying to steal, hit a three-run home run. Before game three, Kurt Gowdy said that Vida Blue never won a big game. And in game three, the A's won 1-0. Vida Blue went through a complete game. Two hits, no walks, seven strikeouts. So I think that would qualify as winning a big game.
Yeah, I would say. Yeah, I would say.
And then
you know, a lot of that was circumstance, too, for Vida.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, Charlie had messed with him, and he, you know, in the first year, he's bringing him in and out of the bullpen. And that in the second year, yeah, pretty good year. But, I mean, hey, he had to get there. He could do big games during the season. I know I'd play behind him any day. He could go for me.
You guys went to the World Series, game four, and then Sal Bando gave Alvin Dark credit, and he said it was tough taking a championship team winning again. And you guys played the Dodgers, and Bill Buckner said only a couple of the A's were good enough to play for the Dodgers.
That's true. He said that as they left town in five games.
And then Blue Moon Odom and Raleigh Fink, go ahead.
Moment, I, to this moment, am sitting here with a 74 World Series ring on my hand. So, amen. It worked for me.
And then, let's see, round the end, World Series time, Blue Moon Odom and Raleigh Fingers had a fight. Raleigh Fingers had five stitches in his head. Oh, boy.
Yeah. And then went out and pitched a hell of a series.
Yeah. Game one, the A's won 3-2. And Joe Ferguson said about Catfish Hunter that he didn't thing. Jimmy Wynn said that Raleigh Fingers was like any other relief pitcher.
Yeah. Catfish Hunter had struck Joe Ferguson out in that game, coming out of the bullpen in relief, didn't he? I think so. And Cannon, Jimmy Wynn, I guess he found out that Raleigh was pretty good.
And then there was the game when Herb Washington got picked off first by Mike Marshall. And you said after the game, you said there will come a time, you're quoted, there will come a time when Herb Washington will be the most devastating running force in baseball.
I said that.
That's the quote.
Well, I know that it might have been a different quote, but I knew that I had never seen anybody a world class sprinter like that. It was
right.
A whole different class of speed. You know,
uh-huh.
I was supposed to be pretty fast and one of the top, one of the fastest guys in the game, but I wasn't anything like that, partner.
The A's were up 2-1 after three games, and in game three, Dick Green started three double plays in game three. After the game, Joe Ferguson said that the A's got away with murder Bill Buckner said, we definitely have the better team.
But like I said, I got the ring.
Right. Game four ended with Dick Green made a great double play, and he was the best defensive second baseman in the American League. The LA...
I'll tell you about Dick Green. I tell you that all the time whenever we talk about him. He couldn't run, couldn't throw, couldn't hit, had a bad back, but he was a winner. He always, I was on the on-deck circle too many times and watching him drive in key runs and being out there in center field with him making plays and stuff. What a, that guy right there was a winner if there ever was one.
The author wrote that the Dodger arrogance failed to abate as their chances of winning the World Series was abating. They remain, well, you can always have pride no matter what. Game five, bottom of the seventh, Oakland fans, of course, Bill Buckner had been insulting you and saying that, what did he say, your mom, something about his mom could hit better than Bill North. And anyway, the Oakland fans from the bleachers from left field were throwing frisbees and apples at Buckner. The game was delayed for 5 minutes. Mike Marshall had no practice pitches, and Joe Rudy called it his Mr. Macho thing. And Rudy proceeded to hit the World Series winning home run off of him in the top of the eighth.
Mm-hmm.
Or the bottom of the eighth.
Bottom of the eighth.
Bottom of the eighth.
Yeah. I was standing, I had just gone up to the locker room, and I'd come back down, and I was standing behind the backstop before I went in the dugout, and I said, and they're having that commotion out in left field, and I said to myself, I said, we're going to win this game, but I don't know how, because this guy can pitch. And while I was still standing there, the first pitch he threw, Rudy hit it out of the ballpark. I said, there it is. Got it.
And so I guess Mike Marshall should have thrown some practice pitches.
That's like closing the barn door after the horse got out, Peter.
Yeah. Can't go back. Now, you had a great quote. Bill Buckner was batting at the top of the eighth, and you were quoted as saying that you, Bill North, were Bill Buckner before Buckner was Buckner. And you were referring to the fact that, the 86 World Series, when the ball went under his glove at first base and helped the Mets win Game 6. And then in your case, Buckner hit a ball to center that got past you, but Reggie made a great play backing you up, throwing it in, and Buckner tried for three. And Dick Green made a great catch and throw to Sal Bando.
Yeah. Never get thrown out at third base for the first or last out of the inning. So and, it seems to me that Buckner's comments came back to bite him in his ass.
Yeah, I thought that was a great quote that you were Bill Buckner because you, of course, that play ended well, and unlike when Buckner's had the ball go under his glove in the 86 series. You called Reggie big money. Whenever anybody is looking, Reggie comes through.
Reggie Jackson was the best ball player when everybody was watching and all the cameras were on, and that was best ball player I ever saw.
And then, let's see, top of the – instead of one on, Dodgers should have had a guy on second with no out, but they turned – after. As it turned out, they had no base runners and one out. Raleigh Fingers got the save. In the World Series, the A's only scored 16 – it was a low-scoring series. A's scored 16, Dodgers 11. And A's only hit 211. And what's funny is that they were talking about Dick Green being the MVP, although I don't think he had a hit.
One hit. If he'd have got one hit, he'd have been the MVP.
You know, it's strange. I've never heard of a situation where a guy is almost the World Series MVP. After the season, Finley never sent him a contract. And Green, it just shows how the money wasn't good back then for players. And Green went into the family business. And Finley, a guy, basically he was released by the A's. A guy who almost was World Series, because they had Phil Garner. Well, how much of a loss was it for the A's losing Dick Green?
Well, I think that you're starting to mess with the machine now. always said Dick Green's backup and our utility infielder was one of the Teddy Kubiak was when they started dismantling the machine, because when he was gone, when they got rid of him, things seemed to go the hell in the handbasket. And he was perfect. And he, you know, he did everything right. He did everything you asked of him. And he'd come in. Campanaris would go down 2 weeks in the summer, and he could play the best two-week shortstop in the game. And but Charlie started thinking it was him that was the reason for our championships. And, yeah, he might have got bored with the winning, so he wanted to get more headlines. But,
well, I find it strange that a guy is almost World Series MVP and he's released and nobody wants him. I don't think he got any offers.
Well, that's the same guy that tried to get rid of everybody in free agency. I mean, before free agency, you know, trading away everybody. And him and Bowie Kuhn never did get along. So Bowie stuck him there at that. But, amen. Good times don't last forever.
After the A's won the World Series, Charlie Finley instructed Reggie Jackson to spray a bottle of champagne on Bowie Kuhn's head, which he did, and then Reggie proceeded to kiss Bowie Kuhn on the cheek. Raleigh Fingers was MVP. Catfish Hunter had a contract dispute with Charlie Finley, the author refers to Bill North as the best red player on the team.
I did read a lot.
After the 74 season, Catfish Hunter became a free agent, signed with the Yankees. They traded Bob Locker and Daryl Knowles, Manny Trio, to the Cubs for Billy Williams. You were reunited with Billy Williams. That was pretty nice, right?
Oh, Peter, I talked to him the other day, and he's doing well. Mm-hmm. He was my mentor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And shoot, he had 23, 24 home runs for us. He had a good year.
And then spring training, Joe Rudy asked Billy Williams if he had a first base glove, and Billy Williams said that he had an outfield glove, first base glove, golf glove, soccer glove, and someone asked if he had a boxing glove, and Billy Williams said that he was going to wear a boxing glove and have it out with you guys one at a time because he'd heard about the Fighting A's.
Yeah.
Funny guy. That was
one
good.
Man. A wonderful person. You'll never find a better person.
The thing is, they lost. You guys lost Catfish Hunter, but Mike Norris in 75 had a great start. Rookie. Sadly, he got hurt. If you'd had Mike Norris in the ALCS, things could have been different.
Yeah. We needed that right-hander up there, but we didn't. And
then Herb Washington got released in 75. They traded Blue Moon Odom to Cleveland for Jim Perry and Dick Bosman, and then traded Dave Hamilton and Chet Lemon to the White Sox for Stan Bonson. A lot of things happening. 75 All-Star break. You guys were 55-32, so you got playing well in 75.
Yeah. Thing, like I say, is that we would have won the playoffs from Boston if we weren't in Fenway Park. But you had your Yastrzemski. We hit the ball into that green monster so many times, and they would have been home runs. They were line drives, and they would have been home runs in any other park, and Yastrzemski was turning them into singles.
Mm-hmm.
And then with, you know, and only one left-handed pitcher, had won all year up there in Boston. That was a guy named from Cleveland named Rick Waits.
Uh-huh.
Out of 81 games, only one left-hander won, but we started two. It would have been nice for somebody to be ready to go, but right-handed. But you know, hey, I still maintain that we hit the book. This sounds like the Dodgers, doesn't it?
The
best team lost.
Uh-huh.
You know, they were a good team, and they played us, and you know, that was just the circumstances. We weren't denigrating them because they knew how to play their part. You know, they were a good team.
At the owners' meeting, Charlie Finley tried to oust Bowie Kuhn but failed, and then Jim Perry was released. You guys clinched the division on September 24th of the celebration. Said that Reggie Jackson spun Bill North helicopter style. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I got a picture of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds like you guys would have gotten dizzy.
No, he just had me in his arms spinning around.
Okay.
Like,
last game of the season, Vida Blue, Glenn Abbott, Paul Lindblad, and Raleigh Fingers had a combined no-hitter.
I could imagine. That's an array of pictures.
Uh-huh.
With a lot of different kind of stuff. You go from Vida Blue to Paul Lindblad and Glenn Abbott,
uh-huh,
Raleigh Fingers. That'll confuse you at the plate. You can bet on that.
So Dick Williams finished in last place with the Angels. Catfish finished in third with the Yankees. You guys finished in first, so Charlie Finley at that time felt vindicated, except you guys lost the ALCS to the Red Sox 3-0, and then Gene Tennis shaved off his mustache after Game 3.
Yeah, yeah. And that's cool. Yeah, you know, when I see him now, he doesn't have a mustache.
Okay.
I didn't think you should have kept that mustache on. I didn't know he was that ugly.
The author quotes Reggie Jackson is saying everyone was mad at Finley. They couldn't beat him up, so they beat up each other.
Every team I was ever on in baseball fought.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We just happened to be champions with a lot of people following us. And major seeing our moves.
The 75 season, Andy Messersmith and Dave McNally played without contracts, hoping to become a free agent. They succeeded. 9 A's did not sign their contract the next year, and Finley gave them a maximum cut. 76, you guys had Chuck Tanner was your new manager.
I was one of those 9, Peter.
Uh-huh.
And then he gave me the money I wanted.
Uh-huh.
Or I'd have became a millionaire right along with the rest of them.
So did you have a major regret with that?
Hey, man, I got the money I want.
Okay.
He kind of liked me, I think.
There was a newspaper headline that if Charlie Finley did not change his ways, that he was going to go to hell. But that was a quote from Alvin Dark. I guess that led him to being fired. You guys, the A's traded Reggie Jackson and Ken Holtzman to the Orioles for Don Baylor, Mike Therese, and Paul Mitchell. Big trade.
Yeah. They didn't stay there. Neither he nor Hosey stayed there very long, though.
Well, the time has flown by. We have a couple comments from, let's see here, who are these fellas? Dalen from Massachusetts is talking about Charlie Finley, Ken Holtzman, Raleigh Fingers, and then there's another comment. Oh, another comment from Joey from Bucks County also has a comment here about how something about the A's having low attendance. Bill, the time has flown by. Do you have any final comments tonight for our audience?
Hi, Alice. And thank you guys for listening to us. A couple of people just talking baseball. I appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Baseball in the old days when we were young, back in the 70s. We've had tonight on the show Bill North, the starting center fielder, leadoff hitter for the coolest MLB team of all time, the Oakland A's from the early 1970s. What a wonderful gift having you on again. Thanks so much, Bill, for coming on again tonight.
Thank you, Peter. I appreciate you.
Oh, I appreciate you. Oh, God bless you. Wonderful show again. Thanks so much. Really loved it all. We'll continue with, in 2 weeks, we'll continue with Jason Turbo's book with Bill North. Next week, we've got Ed Vosburgh, who was an MLB pitcher from 1986 to 2002. Won a World Series in 1997 with the Florida Marlins, beat my Cleveland Indians. Dear listener, may the road rise to meet you. May the wind be at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face and rains fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand. Good night, everybody. Thanks so much again, Mr. Bill North.
Thank you.
You. Wonderful.